Diabetes. Let's diabeat this. Telethon, released May 6, 2010. Written by Amy Poehler herself. The first time she wrote an episode for Parks and Rec. Stuff I found online right off the bat, because fuck it, it's my show. So, early in the series, Poehler had expressed to Michael Schur, the creator, co-creator, that she wanted to write an episode, but they agreed that they would wait for a filming hiatus before doing so. Poehler said that the scenes in which Leslie uses sugar rushes to re-energize herself at night, only to crash later, were reminiscent of some of her own all-night experiences working on SNL. Must have been really... I hear writing for SNL is a bitch. Donna mentions that her brother is in Liberia, but in real life, Retta's aunt is the president of Liberia. Fun fact there. Detlef Schrempf was actually a pretty damn good basketball player. Not like Hall of Fame level, but he was pretty good. He averaged just under 14 points per game for his career. And here's some fun facts about him. He played in more seasons than Michael Jordan. He also had more playoff appearances than Michael Jordan. He played Michael Jordan 32 times and beat him 12 times. I'm a huge basketball fan, and even I didn't know this. Funniest moments. And we're just flying by these categories because I'm trying to squeeze everything in 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. Funniest moments. And I'm narrowing them down to just three. And I'm probably going to rank them. Yeah, I'm going to rank them. Number three, all of Ron's sleep fighting scenes. So they show him sleep fighting three times. Once when he almost hits Leslie. You know, the first time we find out that he has a sleep fighting disorder. And the second time, isn't the funniest for me. Mark has a talking scene. A talking head scene. And you can see Mark, Ron in the background sleep fighting while Mark is talking. And then the third time you see him is when Mark is talking normally. He's like, have you seen this guy sleep? It's like watching underwater ballet. Those were all of the three Ron sleep fighting scenes. I looked it up. It's not a real thing. Just kidding. I didn't look it up. But I highly doubt that it's real. Number two, funniest moments. Jerry's sex night. So poor Jerry. He didn't want to go to the telethon because it was his sex night. And poor Gail probably missed out on what Dr. Harris described as the biggest penis he'd ever seen. But they're married. Pretty sure they have other chances to make up for that. Number one, funniest moment, funniest scene, and the telethon episode. For me, Jerry's magic trick. So Leslie doesn't believe that Jerry used a real egg. She smacks it out of his hand. She is so surprised. That I felt so bad. Like, the way she responded to cracking the egg, she's like, Jerry, that's disgusting and fake. Oh my god, it was real. Go out there and do that. That was really great by Leslie. Her funniest moment in that scene. Funniest moment in the entire episode. And Jerry, poor Jerry. Poor Jerry. On a scale from 1 to 10, this is the how bad did you feel for Jerry scale. Overall, in this episode, I give it like an 8.5. And between what I feel most bad about, being stuck with the switchboard of 25 lines, getting all those phone calls, getting the egg smacked out, and missing out on sex with Gail, I probably rank them. Number one, missing out on Gail. Number two, the egg. Number three, the 25 lines on the phone. I mean, who cares? Get it together, Jerry. Who was funny under the influence? Leslie, influence of sugar, or Tom? Influence of alcohol. It's gotta be Leslie under the influence of sugar. It has to be. Tom was just over the top with his drunk act. Unanswerable questions. Oh man, I have so many. I wish I could answer these, but they're unanswerable for a reason. Why didn't Andy just use the telethon to help adopt those puppies? Come on, missed opportunity. You know how many people would have called to adopt those puppies? Come on. Number two. If the telethon shifts were from 2 to 6 a.m., why didn't Jerry just have sex with his wife like at 8 p.m.? I don't know, 7:30, early. Sleep, then set his alarm for 1:30, and then head over to the telethon. That seems like poor time management by him. Or he just needs a lot of recovery time. I don't know. Pound town. Number three, did Anne move Leslie's car? Or did it stay on her lawn for about 22 hours? I've always wondered that. I think she got a ticket. She had to, right? She had to get a ticket. She can't just park it on the lawn like that. Actually, you know what? No. I used to park my car on the lawn for the streets, the street sweeper, because we had like 6 cars in our house way back in the day. Number 4. So they had 2 videos that they were going to play throughout the telethon. The one was titled "Even My Tongue Is Fat: The Story of Pawnee," and another one called "One Butt, Two Seats: The Widening of America." I wonder which one was funnier. I would have loved to have seen them. They were playing in the background. Number 5. Leslie stayed up all night before, all night the night before the all-nighter, to make t-shirts that say "Diabetes, let's diabetes, buy it, let's whatever." But they were, what were they for? Because I never saw them again in the episode, unless they were given away to people who donated the money. I don't know. Number 6. Did Tom really know who Detlef was when Leslie told him? He's like, "The Detlef?" Wow. Because I didn't even know who the fuck he was. I had to look him up. And his reaction was like he was going to meet someone more famous than that. I don't know. He didn't want to go. And he's like, "The Detlef?" And he's like, "All right, fuck it, I'll stay." I don't get it. Number 7. Now, I don't drink alcohol, even though I'm 26. So I don't know how this works. But Tom stayed drunk from around 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. after just 2 light beers. But also, too, what didn't make sense was there was this tiny little moment where Tom looks at the TV and it's well past 2 a.m. and he sees Leslie struggling to fill in time. He doesn't look drunk at all, but he's drunk before and he's drunk after. So it makes no sense. It's like he had like a little moment of soberness. How does this work? I don't know. Somebody tell me. I need to ask Alex. He's at work. Number 8. Did Leslie ruin Mark's chances of marrying Anne? Had he not asked Anne? No, had she not asked Anne if he was the one? Anne wouldn't have been, you know, she said, "I've been thinking about what you asked me, if he was the man." But Leslie put it in her head. Everything was, I guess, okay leading up to that question, right? Because then she wouldn't have gotten annoyed at Mark for getting the coffee wrong. Because also, too, that's another thing I was thinking. That was the final straw. He's not the one because he put creamer in my coffee. That was it? That did it? Did that do it? I don't know. So I want to get into who did the most with little screen time, but first we're going to take a break. Before we move on, really quick, this episode of the Parks and Questions podcast brought to you by Dink Tea in Lakewood. Order your favorite teas, milk teas, and Vietnamese coffee for delivery with DoorDash. Now open in Downey on Apollo Way, right behind the Kaiser. We're also brought to you by Candy's Nail Salon, now selling CBD-infused bath bombs and are doing CBD massages. Yeah, tell your girl to treat yourself. So, who did the most with little screen time? Here are the nominees. Detlef Shrimp, Joan Calamezzo, her co-host Martin, who was clearly on cocaine, Sewage, a.k.a. married to Clint Eastwood's daughter at one point, Joe, Burley, Alan Yang. And I'm going to say it was Detlef Shrimp because even though he had to put up with Tom, he was still the designated driver. And more importantly, he donated $5,000 to diabetes research. So I guess he has to win the character who did the most with little screen time. He literally did the most with his little screen time. Honorable mention, had to go to Joan Calamezzo for her line, "Tonight we're hoping the people of Pawnee dig their big chubby hands into their plus size pockets." I want that printed on a t-shirt. Next category, what aged well? I only have 3. Number 1, Sex Hair by Mouse Rat. I love that song. Still bump it whenever I can find it. Number 2, Tulsa is still one of the fattest cities in the U.S. according to WalletHub.com. I'm not shitting you. They're number 6 on the list, followed by Knoxville, Tennessee, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, Shreveport, Louisiana, and McAllen, Texas. So, whatever you guys are eating over there in Tennessee, I want in. And number 3, what's aged what's aged well? Puppies. Can never go wrong with puppies. What didn't age well? Number one, don't tell PETA, but Ron used the words, and I quote, take him out and shoot him, end quote, when referring to the cute dog at the beginning. Of course he was joking, but PETA doesn't joke, and who knows how people will react today if they were to air that. Number two, what didn't age well? The communal lipstick and a box of combs that Pawnee has for hair and makeup at the TV show. So you mean to tell me that everyone shares that one piece of lipstick and shares the same comb? Even before COVID, that's ridiculous. Number three, what didn't age well? Leslie driving while drowsy. Poor judgment on her part. Uber probably already existed, but in its early stages, but still, get a taxi. Number four, what didn't age well? The idea of Mark proposing to Anne. Just, ugh. Ugh. And number five, telethons. I've never seen a telethon. Here's actually something that I learned. If you drink 8 glasses of milk in 3 minutes, you will die. Just kidding. I had to look it up. And I guess technically you can die, yeah. But everyone just says you'll probably not die. You'll just throw up a lot. And you'll feel like you're dying. Speaking of dying, Leslie had like 20 Nutrium bars in that bag. And she finished all of them. And if you remember from the Sweetums episode, Leslie ate 40 of those Sweetums bars. Based on the math that I did for that episode, go back and watch it. The Sweetums, listen to it. The Sweetums episode. That's a whopping 640 grams of fat in one sitting. That's equivalent to 58 Krispy Kreme donuts, or you could use that gram, those fats of grams of fat more wisely and eat 290 Oreos, or not all of these equal 640, but all separately, 19 Big Macs, 13 9-ounce steaks, 80 10-ounce chocolate shakes, and 91 fried eggs. To tell you the truth, I'd rather have 290 Oreos over 20 Sweetums bars, because you could savor each time. 290 times, savor the Oreo goodness. Or just half a gallon of milk and sacrifice like 40 Oreos. I don't know. Either way, Sweetums bars, just, I don't know. Funniest character. I mean, it's got to be Leslie, right? She wrote this episode herself, and she gave herself the hardest task, and she pulled it off. But she was incredibly funny. Incredibly funny. And that one scene where she was describing the Friends episode, only she could have pulled that off. She went off on Jerry on more than one occasion, how she drove into Anne's yard. I mean, that's genius. How she fell asleep and fake woke up and went back to sleep, hands down. In fact, that's, my son does that all the time. He's literally asleep 5 feet from me, and don't worry, he sleeps through anything. But I can guarantee you, 20 minutes from now, he's gonna sit up like Leslie did, eyes wide open, and then fall right back asleep. It's incredible to watch. Final thoughts. It was kind of weird that there was a moment while Mouse Rat was playing Sex Hair. The camera pans over to April, and she made this face. I don't know what face it was, but it was this weird face. But also, too, especially after Andy literally just said a few episodes back, or the last episode, that it was weird being friends with her because she was only 20. So, I don't know. I just thought that was... It's like they wanted to foreshadow, but it's like, but did you not remember that you just said that it was weird? But now you're insinuating that April and Andy... April wants to have sex with Andy or something. I don't know. It was weird. So I kind of feel like this episode was a missed opportunity to have John Raphael. I mean, he would have been great. And also, too, Jones' co-host was definitely on drugs, right? Weird, wacky stuff. I am not a crook. What the fuck was... What? Did not understand his part at all. And also... People always only talk about when the MRI tech foreshadowed Leslie having triplets. But I never see anyone talk about how April said, we're doing really good. We're going to get married and I'm pregnant with this child. Talking about Andy when Leslie asked how they were doing. So there's that. I would have guessed that this episode got an 8.0 on IMDb. I would have given it a 7.8. I mean, I liked it, but I mean, given the fact that it's Leslie's, Amy Poehler's first attempt at writing an episode for this, she did a great job. It's just, I don't know. I wasn't fully, I don't know. But it got an 8.4 on IMDb. Leslie knocking it out of the park on her first try, according to everybody else. I'm very impressed by that 8.4. I think that's tied for the highest ever through the first like 30 episodes. I don't know. It's pretty great. So I hope you enjoyed this new edition of the Solo Pod. Alex is still here. He's at work, but I'm just trying to crank these out because just making up ground because we fell way behind. But he'll be back eventually. Until next time, guys. Hope you enjoyed. Deuces.